Thank you, Father, for your spirit that is so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive. We receive the word this evening. We declare and decree this evening that the truth of God's word is taught with clarity, with accuracy, with precision. And at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Alright, so if you have your Bibles, kindly turn with me to the book of John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We've been looking at God's new creation. So quickly look at John chapter 3, verse 1. John 3, verse 1. John chapter 3, verse 1. Look at John 3, verse 1. Or, whilst you are in John 3, look at 2 Corinthians 5. Right? Yes, you are in John 3. Whilst you are in John 3, look at 2 Corinthians 5. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Are we together? The word there, behold, means to pay attention or to pay deliberate attention. So what I pay deliberate attention to, that all things are become new. Now, all things, will it be all things on earth or specific all things? The all things will be used within the context to mean in verse 18, all things are of God. Are we together? Who are to reconcile? So the all things will deal about the reconciliation God has done to himself by Jesus Christ, and had given us a ministry of reconciliation. So God reconciles, then gives us a ministry of reconciliation. So we have to pay attention. Behold, all things are become new. So once a man is in Christ, he has become a new creation, a new species. Now go back to John 3. Remember, you are in John 3, ideally. John chapter 3, verse 1. Look at John 3, verse 1. John 3, 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Now, remember, we've tried to emphatically emphasize on the fact that the integrity of scriptures is what we hold on to as believers. That there is such a thing as a God who promised and kept to his promise and fulfilled that promise in the resurrection. Now, there is an effect of believing that resurrection. Right? That resurrection is the resurrection of Christ, and when you believe it, you are in association, or you are in partake, or you are a partaker rather, of that resurrection. So a man who believes the resurrection is found in Christ. Now remember, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things become, behold, all things have become new. All things are new. All things become new. So to say, right, in the real sense, the all things will be regarding the reconciliation, which is of God, that is spoken in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So when you now see Nicodemus, or John chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jew. The same came to Jesus by night, and he said unto Jesus, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, see what Jesus says unto him. Jesus said unto him, and Jesus answered rather, said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So what is he saying? Except a man has a new birth, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we're together. Now, Nicodemus now said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? So, Nicodemus knows that when the conversation of being born is spoken about, there has to be an external factor. That's why he says, can a man, when he is old, enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So, Jesus will say, thou must be born again. Nicodemus will say, how can a man who is old go back into his mother's womb? Then Jesus will now answer that question, which seems to be logical, and say, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. Now remember the first thing. Except a man be born again, in verse 3, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now verse 5 now says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, right? He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So what is consistency? Kingdom of God in verse 3, kingdom of God in verse 5. Now what do you see again? You see, except a man be born again in verse 3, and in verse 5, you see, except a man be born of water and of spirit. So it means that being born of water and of the spirit will be equal to be born again of verse 3. Look at that again. Verse 3 says, except a man be born again. Verse 5 says, except a man be born of water and of the spirit. So you can say, except a man be born again into brackets, born of water and of the spirit. Now verse 3 now says he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5 now says he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He play on words right there. Look at that again, verse 3. John chapter 3, verse 4. Look at verse 3 again first, rather. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now it says, except a man be born again, he can, born of water and of the spirit in verse 5, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Are we together? So in the real sense, there's a link between born again and born of water and of the spirit. Now hold your hands in John chapter 3 and go with me to Ezekiel chapter 36. Remember the integrity of God's word. We will see God's word or God's promise in the words of the Holy Scriptures, and we'll see them fulfilled in the resurrection. Look at Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Now look at the utterances on the lips of Ezekiel. So what it says, Ezekiel 36, 24. It says, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Now, when I bring you into that land, remember, if thou be willing, first Isaiah, we saw that 2 days ago, if thou be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So it means that you will see a consistent promise of land in Isaiah and a consistent promise of land in Ezekiel. Yeah, so it means that you will see through scriptures a promise of a land, and in the real sense, it will be fulfilled in the resurrection. Why? Because God's word has an integrity. So it says, I will bring you into a land. As I will say, you will eat the good of the land if you are willing and obedient. So being willing and obedient will deal with walking into that land and eating the good found in that land. What you see it as in Ezekiel 36, 24 is, I will take you out of all the countries and bring you into a land. What now happens in the land? Verse 25, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you. Are we together? I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols. Will I cleanse you? Hold on, dear saints. When you sprinkle water on somebody, that doesn't make the person clean. When I sprinkle water on you, I have just sprinkled water on you. I have not necessarily washed you. Imagine we were to wake up every day and sprinkle water on our clothes, even though it was clean water. We say, oh, have you washed your clothes? No, I sprinkled clean water on it. No, you don't clean by sprinkle. So we need to pay attention to what that sprinkling will do that will clean. Right? So look at it again. It says, I will cleanse you in verse 25. Now, it now says what he means by, I will cleanse you by sprinkling clean water. Verse 26 now says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. So the sprinkling of clean water is about a new heart. Are we together? The sprinkling of clean water is about the new spirit, right? So the new heart will be about the new spirit, which will be symbolic for newness. So what should you see when sprinkling of water is done? Or what should you see when sprinkling of clean water is done? You should see newness. Newness in what? Newness of the heart, that is the new spirit. So the new heart will I give thee, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and will give you an heart of flesh. So the stony heart of your flesh will be different from heart of flesh in the same verse 26. So what does it really mean? It means I will give you a new heart, that is, I will put my spirit within you. So the new heart in verse 26, the new spirit in verse 26 is about God's spirit that he will put within you. Are we together? I will put my spirit within you. I will put my spirit within you. So when you think about what God will do in the land, it is to give man his spirit. So what does man do? Man is willing. Man is obedient. He comes into the land, right? And by extension, God sprinkles clean water on him. That is, God gives him a new heart, that is a new spirit, that is God's new spirit or God's spirit. Did you get that? Look at 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. It says, know ye not, look at verse 9, that the unrighteousness or the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. John 3 says that you cannot see the kingdom of God except you are born again. So it means that someone that is not born again is termed as unrighteous in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9. So know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit. You first see it as see the kingdom in John 3:3, then enter the kingdom in John 3:5, then inherit the kingdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9. So know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Altogether, now see what he says. And such were some of you. It means that even if there were some of them who were covetous amongst the local church in Corinth, Paul did not address them as unrighteous. Are we together? Paul did not address them as those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, and such were some of you, right? But ye are washed. Now, what does God do? Ezekiel says that God will sprinkle clean water to make you clean. That is, will wash you. How does God sprinkle? God sprinkles clean water by giving you a new heart. That is, a new spirit. So, such were some of you, but ye are washed. How are you washed? By the spirit that God gives to you in the resurrection. In that land you have been willing and obedient to come into. Are we together? And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified. Hallelujah. Ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified. Ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. So the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is about the Spirit of God spoken about in 1 Corinthians. Altogether, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 now. He says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. And such were some of ye, but ye are washed. How are you washed? You are washed by his spirit. So he will first tell you, being justified by in the name of the Lord, that will speak about the Spirit of God that washes. Are we together? So what does God do? God will cleanse, or God will cleanse or cleanse in the real sense by giving a new heart that is a new spirit. So we've received a new heart, that means we've been washed. We've received a new spirit, that is we've been washed. We've received a new heart, that is we have a new spirit, that is we have been washed. Are we together? So he says that ye were once like that, or such were some of you, but ye are washed. Ezekiel will say what? In the real sense, God will sprinkle clean water and make you clean. God will sprinkle clean water and make you clean. So look at in John 3, where we really are. Remember John 3. Now, so how will you be a new creation? It is by being willing and obedient, that is, you receive a new heart, a new spirit, Ezekiel spoke about. So look at John 3. John chapter 3. So John chapter 3 says in verse 3, Jesus now said unto him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, right? How did Ezekiel say it? I will sprinkle clean water and ye shall be clean. So what is Ezekiel saying? Ezekiel is saying that God will sprinkle clean water so that you can be born again. Are we together? Because being born again is to be born of water and to be born of the Spirit. Now the question is, what type of water is John talking about, or Jesus talking about? So verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water, the word there and is from the Greek word kai, which means I mean, that is. You know, Paul uses that as well in 1 Corinthians 6 we just read, right? But ye are justified by in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is by the Spirit of God. Paul will say in 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit. So the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean the love of God, that is the fellowship of the Spirit. So what does the love of God do? The love of God gives grace. What is the grace the love of God gives? The love of God gives the bread of life, the bread of heaven, such that when you eat it because it has been given, you come into the land, you eat the good of the land, then you are cleansed by being sprinkled with the clean water. That is, your heart is changed and you have a new spirit. Did you get that? Right? So to be born of water there and of the Spirit. Now, you see the definite article, the Spirit there. The word thereof is in italics. So a good way to read that would be, except a man be born of water and the Spirit. Okay. Now, what is born of water and the Spirit? So born of water plus born of the Spirit is equal to born again in verse 3. Look at that again. I'm in verse 5. John 3, 5. Born of the water plus born of the Spirit is equal to born again in verse 3. So it means you need to pay attention to verse 5 very well. Is it really a plus, or it is the same? Now, so the word there "and" is the word. Now, remember, the promise of the water in Ezekiel is the promise of the Spirit. So when you see water, it means he's talking about Spirit. So what is he saying to be born again? It means, except a man be born of water, that is to be born of the Spirit, that is to be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What did I do? I conjoined John 3 verse 3 and John 3 verse 5. So, to be born of water is not any different from being born of the Spirit, because it is the water that God gives, that God sprinkles to cleanse or to clean, that makes you new, that is, you receive a new spirit, that is, you receive a new heart. Did you get that? So, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water, I mean that is of the Spirit, that is, so water there will be symbolic. Now, remember, Ezekiel will use water as symbolic for what? For the Spirit. 1 Corinthians, we say, thou art being washed. How? By the Spirit. So what washes us is the Spirit. Remember, we said that the blood of Jesus is about the Spirit. Leviticus 17, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Right? So the blood that saved you is not the blood that came out from the veins of Jesus when he was flogged. No, it is the Spirit that is presented from the resurrection, from the land of the dead. So when you see, I drink the blood of Jesus, it means you drank of God's Spirit. What really happened? You have a new heart. You have a new spirit. That is, you are new. So Paul will now say, if any man be in Christ, he is new. So there's a newness. What is new? Your body texture, your skin's texture, your face texture? No. You know, I hear some people say very interesting things about how, you know, the new birth make their pimples to go. Yeah, you don't get new birth and begin to get new skin. No, it doesn't happen that way. No, it doesn't happen that way. If you don't change your meals, if you don't change what you eat, if you don't change your skin products, if you don't do skin care, your skin will be as old as it was before you were new. You get that? The new birth comes with new heart, that is the Spirit, right? So your head will not change. Your skin will not change. Your hairstyle will not change. Are we together? Your skin will not just overlay and just, you know, it just fade out. You know, as you just receive the Spirit of God, this your top layer of the skin. How did I get there? In fact, get away from that, right? So except a man be born again, he cannot see. Except a man be born of water, that is the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So how do you see? You see by being born. Hallelujah. You see by being born. Praise Jesus. Look now, look at John chapter 7. You are in John 3, right? Look at John 7. John chapter 7. John 7, 37. Mm-hmm. Look at John 7, 37. John chapter 7, verse 37. He says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. What is really saying? If you are thirsty or you lack water, come, let me sprinkle clean water on you. But how did John now write it? He writes it as what? Come and drink. So to drink God's water is to be sprinkled by God's water. It really means to get a new heart, that is a new spirit. So if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, he says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So what did the scripture say? The scripture says that out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now remember, whose belly do you suppose will come out water that when it is sprinkled, it cleanses? It is out of the belly of our Lord and Savior from the resurrection. How do we know? Look at verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should what? Receive. So what does it mean to come and drink? It means that come and drink, that is, believe. What did Isaiah say? If thou be willing and obedient. What did Ezekiel say? He says, I will give you a new heart. Right? When you are willing, you are obedient, you have a new heart. Are we together? But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Say that again. The Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not glorified. So out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water is about the Holy Ghost that is given in the glorification of Jesus. Are we together? Right? So don't think of a stomach that water is coming out from, but from the womb of the resurrection, we see what you call the new birth, which is the giving of the Holy Ghost to anyone who believes. Are we together? So to be born again is to receive the gospel by believing. How do you what happens when you believe the gospel or receive the gospel by believing? You are actually sprinkled with clean water. That is, you now receive a new heart. That is a new spirit. That is newness. Hallelujah. So it means that anybody that comes into that land can be termed God's new creation. Right, so we are God's new creation that have found ourselves in the land of God. Yeah, so in God's land, there is a good to be eaten. What is the good to be eaten? The good that is to be eaten is the cleansing that comes with the clean water from that land. So there is a clean water in that land that cleanses you, that is, gives you a new heart, that is a new spirit. Now, there is the good of that land that is the spirit of God that you receive, which is actually termed in the reasons with different, you know, grammatical explanations as the cleansing that comes with the clean water. Are we together? Now, look at 1 John 5, verse 1. So, John, you've read John. Now, look at what John, 1 John. John will now say in the book of 1 John. 1 John, chapter 5, verse 1. 1 John 5, 1. Are you there with me quickly? Run with me quickly to 1 John, chapter 5, verse 1. See what happens there. See what John says. The same John who wrote the book of John. So, he says, John, chapter 1 John 5, says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Okay. Okay, John 3 tells you, born again. John 3 tells you, born of the water, born of water, that is the Spirit. John, 1 John 5 now tells you, born of God. So to be born of God is to be born again. Are you here? To be born of God is to be born again. To be born again is to be born of water, that is of the Spirit. Did you get that? And so you can say, so if I ask you, are you born again? You can say, yes, I am born of God. You can say, yes, I am born of God's water. You can say, yes, I am born of God's Spirit. Yeah, you can say, I am born again. The question you really asked. Right? So, are you born again? Yes, I am born again. I am born of the Spirit. I am born of water. I am born again. I am born of God. So, it says, whosoever believeth is born of God. Whosoever believeth that is Jesus. Right? So, what are you believing? Jesus in the resurrection. So, Jesus is the Christ, the anointed. Are we together? He's born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begotteth, loveth him also, that is begotten of him. So by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandment. For this is the love of God, that we must keep, or that we keep his commandment, and his commandment are not grievous. See what it says in verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So can we say, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world? Can we say, for whosoever is born again overcometh the world? Can we say, whosoever is born of God's water overcometh the world? Can we say, whosoever is born of God's Spirit overcometh the world? And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. He says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Can we say, who is he that overcometh the world but he that is born again? Can we say, who is he that overcometh the world but he that is born of water, that is born of the Spirit, that is born of God? Oh, praise Jesus. He says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. You see, so water, we speak of blood, we speak of Jesus Christ, we speak of the Spirit. He says, not by water only, but by water and blood. You see, you would have read John's writing where he explains being born of water or drinking water out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water is about the Spirit that is giving the glorification. So the water in John 3 is the water in rivers of living water in John 7, and it is the blood in 1 John 5. Are we together? So that this is he that came by water and blood, that is, or even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water that is blood. What does it now say? And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is the truth. Are we together? So the Spirit is the blood, the Spirit is the water, the Spirit is the rivers of living water, the Spirit is the bread, the Spirit is about the land, the Spirit is the good of the land, it is the land itself. You see that? Look at verse 11. For our time, let's jump, right? Look at verse 11. Look at verse 10. Look at 1 John 5, verse 10. It says, he that believeth on the Son of God had the witness in himself, and he that believeth not God had made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. Are we together? So why did God give his Son? So God gave his Son is equal to God gave his water. Are you here? Is equal to God gave his Spirit. Is equal to God gave his bread. That is the good of the land God gives in the land. Are we together? And this is the record that God, you see, you must have paid attention to our series all through the week, right? So, and this is the record that God had given to us eternal life. Okay. So to be born again is to have, or to be born of water, is to be born again, or let me say it anyway, to be born again is to be born of water, that is born of the blood of Jesus, that is born of the Spirit, that is you have received life. So when you are cleansed with clean water, what do you receive? You receive a new heart. You receive a new spirit that is eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Verse 12 now says something. He that hath the Son hath life. What did you receive? A new heart, a new spirit. What is that? His son. He that hath his son hath life, and he that hath not the son of God hath not life. Verse 13 now says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the son of God, that ye may know that ye have what? Eternal life. And that ye may know on the name, and that ye may believe on the name of the son of God. Look at 1 Peter 1:23. Hallelujah. So to be born again is to have eternal life, that is to be born of God, that is to be born of God's water, that is to be born of God's blood, that is to be born of God's spirit. You see so many vocabularies to explain the same thing. You know, the people from the north, you say sama, sama, the same thing, the same thing we're explaining, right? So you see different concepts to explain the same truth. What is the truth? The spirit given in the resurrection. Right, so when you receive the spirit given in the resurrection, whatever you call it, it is the fact that you are God's new creation. Look at 1 Peter 1:23. Are you there? Hope you are there. Look at 1 Peter 1:22. It says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. It says, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. 23 now says, being born again, look at that 23 again, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. Okay, so being born again is by the word of God. So can we say being born again is equal to being born of the water, or water, which is equal to being born of the spirit, which is equal to being born of the word of God. Are we together? Which is equal to being born of God from 1 John 5. Do you get that? Now look at the second chapter, 1 Peter 2:9. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:9. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his what? Marvelous light. Into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Now, where is the marvelous light? The marvelous light is found in the marvelous land. What happens in the marvelous land? There is a good of the land to be eaten, Isaiah. There's a sprinkling of clean water that gives a new heart, a new spirit, Ezekiel. There is a being born of water, John 3. There is a river, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, John 7. There is a being born of God, 1 John 5. And there is what? You are a new creation in 2 Corinthians, or you are a new creature in 2 Corinthians 5. So in time past, we are not a people, but now we are the people of God, which have obtained mercy. So look at what it says again in verse 10. It says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have what? Obtained mercy. So a new generation, or ye are a chosen generation, we speak about a breed of people. People who are unique. You can say the new creation. Are we together? So look at Ephesians 4:20. So see how Paul addresses this conversation about conduct, or so to say, which will lead us in 1 Corinthians 6:6. He says, look at 20. Ephesians 4:20. He says, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have learned him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus Christ, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Are we together? So putting on the new man in the real sense in that conversation, is there such a thing as we have put on the new man? Hold on. Is there such a thing as we have put on a new man, or we are new, God's new creation? No. Look at what it says. What is Paul addressing? Paul is addressing conduct too. That's what you should pay attention to in Ephesians 4. Look at what it says in verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself, for we are members one of another. He now goes further to tell you, be ye angry, as sin not, which you look forward to. He now says in chapter 5, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as their children. Are we together? Are we together? So in the real sense, have we put on the new man? Yes. Is there a place of putting on the new man? Yes. So in the real sense, there will be a place of paying attention to what you've put on. Okay, let me show you something in First Corinthians 6. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:17. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. See what it says. Verse 16. It says, "What? Know ye not that your body, or that ye know ye not that he which is joined to the allot is one body? For two, said he, shall be one flesh, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." So Paul in Ephesians will teach about conduct in reference to the new man. That's what he says, ye put on new man. Yeah. Now he now tells you that flee. Okay, look at verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an allot is one body, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit? He now says flee fornication. So he will teach about conduct in reference to the new man, or what the believer has received as a new heart, that is the new spirit, that is to be born of God, to be born of water, to be born of God's spirit. Look at Galatians 5, where he spells it out properly. Look at Galatians. Galatians 5:22. Look at Galatians 5:22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy." If you pay attention carefully to that verse, it didn't say fruits in the translation, right? So it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." In love, what do we have? Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. What did James call it yesterday when we were looking at scriptures on Wednesday? We said, if you fulfill the royal law. What is the royal law? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the love that you ought to give to your neighbor is the fruit of the Spirit you receive in the resurrection. In that love, you find joy, you find peace, you find long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So it means that in the real sense, loving people or forgiving people or having solid conduct is actually meant to be, or is not really meant to be, a testimony, because it is our nature. Are we together? It is who we are. It is who we have become in the resurrection. So what are we to do? We are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Look at verse 24. He says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So there's such a thing as living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. So living in the Spirit is about the new man you've received. Walking in the Spirit is about your deliberateness or paying attention or renewing or being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay, look at Romans 12:1. Are you there? Romans 12:1. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," who are brethren? Brethren are those who come out from the same womb, Adelphos, the womb of the resurrection. Right? Now remember, brethren will be those who live in the Spirit, who ought to walk in the Spirit. "So I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Are we together? He now says in verse 2, he says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So you are living in the Spirit, you walk in the Spirit by renewing your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, that is acceptable, that is the perfect will of God. So how do you do or stay away from the activities or what the world will present to you that are actually lustful activities? It is be not transformed, be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it means that in the resurrection, there's such a thing as brotherhood, which brotherhood will influence what our conduct to a large extent. Because you will see that most of the letters that Paul will write, for instance, or the apostles will write, they were written to a local assembly. Just a couple of them, like Timothy, Titus, were written to pastors, which eventually will be handled or for the sake of the local assembly. So it means that in the new birth, there's such a thing as association or fellowship. Are we together? There's such a thing as fellowship that will now influence your walk in the Spirit. So it's going to be a communication or a community of people living in the Spirit that ought to walk in the Spirit based on fellowship. Okay, see how John says it again. Look at 1 John 1. 1 John 1 verse 1. 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was made man, was manifest unto us. How? Remember, we saw that yesterday, 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness, right? God was made manifest in the flesh, right? So we see the demonstration of Jesus as the manifestation of life to us from the Father, which is the giving of the bread. Look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may be or may have fellowship with us. Are we together? And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, that is with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You see, that word there, fellowship, is a word that deals with partnership, or that which deals with a common identity. So he says we have a common identity with the Father and his Son. We have a common, look at Hebrews. We have a common identity with the Father and his Son. Now, this is Son in the real sense. Look at Hebrews 2:11. We have a common identity, that is, we have a common fellowship, that is, we are in partnership. Look at Hebrews 2:11. He says, for both he that sanctified and those who are sanctified are all of one. For this cause, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. That is, he is not ashamed to associate or fellowship or to show that he is a fellowship or partnership with them. Are we together? So we have a commonality amongst believers. We have every believer has eaten the same thing. Every believer has eaten the same thing. What did we believer eat? What did you eat that I ate? I've eaten the spirit, that is the good of the land, that is what the blood of Jesus, that is the water of Jesus, through the resurrection. So there's such a thing as fellowship with the Father, by extension, fellowship with the Son, by extension, fellowship with the saints. Why? So what do you have that I have? I have fellowship with the Father, you have fellowship with the Father. By extension, it means we have a fellowship. Altogether, well, that's why Romans will now tell you brethren. Right, so we will not be addressed as brethren. Look at how Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 1:9. 1 Corinthians 1:9. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son. Are we together? Of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, it says, we've been called into a fellowship with the Father and his Son in 1 John 1. In the real sense, who is the Father? The Father there will deal with that which is the source of something, or the source of all of beings. Right? Remember we said, Father there is not male. Right? Father there will speak about a Son. So, we have a Father in that he is the source. He is the source of the world, the new creation, the new birth. He is the source of the bread that we eat that gives us eternal life. So, the source there will speak of where we come from. Right? So, the believer is from God. The source of the believer is from God. The work of God in the resurrection. So, it means our relationship is the fact that we have fellowship with our source, with our Father. Remember yesterday, Christ is the revelation of the Father to mankind. In seeing Christ, we see who the Father really is, right? Grace is the mystery of godliness. God was made manifest in the flesh. So Christ is revealed to us as the expression of who the Father is to man. So it means that in the writings of the epistles, God will be referred to less than Father, or God will be referred to more as Father than God. You pay attention to that. God will be referred to more as Father than God. Are we together? So what did Jesus come to do? Jesus came to the earth to do a work of resurrection so that he can call us brethren. In calling us brethren, we can call God Father, the God he calls Father. Are we together? Look at John 1:15. Are you there? Look at John 1:15. John 1:15. It says, John bore witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. It says, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace, and that is the truth, came by Jesus Christ. Now it says, no man had seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared. The word their bosom speaks to something that is close to your heart, or something that is close to your chest, or something we cannot separate from you. All together. So he had declared unto us, he had declared him, we speak about, he has explained to us, he has given us an explanation with a first-hand experience. So the redemptive work of Jesus is God revealing himself to mankind first-hand. Are we together? So if Jesus is going to be the Son of God, he will be the first fruit that will make us also sons of God. Look at what Jesus said in John 20. John 20, verse 17. John 20. Look at John 20, verse 17. He says, Jesus said unto her, touch me not. Are we together? Jesus said unto her, now who is the her? Look at verse 16. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Now, 17 now says, Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. So for Jesus to call his Father our Father, it means we are brothers. For this cause, he is not ashamed to call us brethren. Hebrews 2. Are we together? He is not ashamed, for he that sanctified and those that are sanctified, they are all of one. So Jesus calls us brethren because we have the same Father. So Jesus will tell Mary, I ascend unto my Father that is your and your Father and to my God and your God. So Jesus in his resurrection now makes us share an identity with him. Are we together? Right? So that's why you now see, Isaiah will now say, the children which the Lord, look at Isaiah 8, 18. Isaiah 8 verse 18. Remember, the goal of Isaiah will be who had believed our reports. Are we together? So there will be lots of signs in the book of Isaiah that will point us or that we can point or can point our attention to the resurrection found in Mount Zion. Look at Isaiah 1 verse 18. See what it says there. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 18. Are you there? Isaiah 8 verse 18. What does it say? It says, behold, I and the children. Who will be the children? Those who are sanctified. Who is the I? That he which sanctifies. What does Hebrews say? Hebrews 2, 11. Those, both he that sanctifies and those who are sanctified, they are all of one. So when Jesus now, when you now see Isaiah, behold, I, that is sanctified, one that sanctifies, the children, the sanctified, whom the Lord hath given unto me, we are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts. Which dwelleth where? In Mount Zion. So the children there will deal about those who are in Mount Zion. Okay, hold your hands there and go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 12, I'm sorry. Hebrews 12. Look at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Remember, we're in Isaiah 8. Look at Hebrews 12. Look at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 22. It says, but ye are come unto where? Mount Zion, that is the city of the living God. Dear saints, what will you find in the city of the living God? You should see it too. Those who are sanctified and those and he who sanctifies. So what will you find in the city of the living God? Mount Zion, that is the city of the living God, will be seen as what? The children. Which will be seen as the brethren in Hebrews 2 verse 11, who Jesus is not ashamed to call brethren. Or those who are sanctified, who Jesus is not ashamed to call brethren. So, but ye are come to Mount Zion, that is the city of the living God. What did he now call it? The heavenly Jerusalem. He now says, to the general assembly that is the church. So the assembly will be found in Mount Zion. The assembly will be found in the city of living God. He now says, the assembly really is the church of the firstborn. What is the church about? Those who are called out. Who is the firstborn? The first begotten from the dead. That is the first fruits. That is to show that there is more. More what? More children. So, to the general assembly and the church that is the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. So where are we? We have come to Mount Zion. What happens in Mount Zion? Mount Zion is God's land where God sprinkles clean water so that you can be clean. What does it mean to be clean? It means God gives you a new heart, that is a new spirit. What does it mean to have a new heart, new spirit? It means to be born again, to be born of God, to be born of the Spirit, that is to be born of water. That is to drink from the belly that flows river of living water. You see how we connected scriptures together, right? Right. So ye have come to Mount Zion. Can we say ye have come to God's land? So in God's land, you will see signs and wonders from the children of God in God's land. So go back to Isaiah 8. So Isaiah chapter 8 is not necessarily about the children you give birth to from your womb. In the real sense, we will see that fulfillment in the resurrection when people come to Mount Zion. So behold, I and the children which the Lord had given me are for signs and wonders. Who are the children? Those that are sanctified. Who sanctifies those children? It is the sanctifier. Who is the sanctifier? Jesus Christ, that is God through the resurrection, supplies the sanctification in the resurrection. So that when a man believes it, he is cleansed by clean water. Right? When a man believes it, what happens? He receives the Holy Ghost, the indwelling of the Spirit. That is to say, he is born of God, he is born of the Spirit. So why are we children? Because Jesus will tell you in John 20, I ascend to my Father, that is who will be your Father. So if Jesus says my Father, so that means Jesus will come to do a work so that we can call God Father. Did you get that? So if God is our father, who are we? We are the offspring, we are the heirs, we are the sons, that is the children of God. So we are the children who God has given. So John 10, we said, okay, go to John 10. John chapter 10, verse 28. So John 10, 28. So what is happening in John 10, 28? He says, I give unto them, who are them? The children. So I give to the children eternal life. Where are the children? The children are in the land where clean water has been sprinkled on them. What do the children now have? They have new hearts, new spirit, that is eternal life from John 10, 28. And they shall never perish. Why? Because they are forever perpetually in Mount Zion. They don't leave the gate of Mount Zion. So it says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands, because my Father, okay, you see that? So Jesus will say, I and the children which my Father has given to me, they are for signs and wonders. What would John say? My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. None can pluck them out of my Father's hand. We are brethren with Jesus, having the same fellowship, or sharing an identity, or sharing a fellowship, a set of fellowship with the resurrection. Are we together? So we are identified with the resurrection of Jesus. We are in identification of the resurrection of Jesus. So it means that I and the children which God has given unto me, they are for what? Signs and wonders. So there's a relationship that can be seen as a father and his family. Are we together? So it means that the new creation is a storyline that speaks about a father and his children. A father male? No. Father source? Yes. Children, kids? No. Sons? Yes. Who are sons? Those who have an inheritance. Look at Romans 8. I hope you're learning something here and there. Look at Romans 8:14. Are you Romans 8:14? It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Did you see that? So what does he now say in Romans 8:14? It means to be led. It means to be those who the Father gives to Jesus, that no one can pluck from his hands, which will be those who are found in Mount Zion, that are for signs and wonders given to Jesus. So for as many as are led, what they're led is what that means to be brought forth, right? It's a word that speaks about, you know, being born from. Are we together? So Jesus will be born from the land of the dead and brings us back to life from the land of the dead. So for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What does that really mean? Ye have not received the Spirit. So it means that being the Son of God is about the Spirit received. What did Ezekiel say? Ezekiel actually said, you will be cleansed with clean water. What did Isaiah say? You eat the good of the land. I was together. So, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Father, Abba, Father. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. 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 So, he now says the spirit itself, the spirit is not it for him. So, the spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? The children. So, I and the children, the Lord had given unto me, they are for signs and wonders. What happens? We are in fellowship, we have the same spirit. We are in fellowship, we have the same spirit. We are in fellowship, we have the same spirit. Are we together? So the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What does joint heir now really speaks about? It speaks about the fact that, oh, he can call us brethren. Are we together? Right? The word here, sons, we are the sons of God in verse 14, speaks about one who has an inheritance. Are we together? So there's no fear. There's no timidity. 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 So the adoption we receive will mean to be placed in a position of a son. Adoption there will just really speak to be placed in a position of a son. So in our spirit, there is a witness that is born, that is, we are known of God, or we know God as Father, and Father knows us as children. So there's a father and children relationship by the Spirit of God. Are we together? Look at 1 John 3. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 16. Ephesians 2, verse 16. Ephesians 2, verse 16. It says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, through who? Through Jesus Christ, he has given us access to the Spirit so that we can call the person he calls Father, Father. So Jesus will call God Father, we'll call God Father. Are we together? Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of Mount Zion. You see, fellow citizens will be saints, household of God, that is, children of God. That is, we are now children of God in Mount Zion that will be known with signs and wonders. Are we together? Look at Ephesians 3:14, the next chapter, Ephesians 3:14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father, right, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we together? The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is our Father. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is our source by which we have what? Redemption. Look at 1 John 3. First John 3 verse 1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That means we are the children, or we are those who hail from another, or who hail from the birth of the new creation, or who hail from the birth of Christ, or who hail from the resurrection. Are we together? So the resurrection is our birth. Are we together? So we are children, we are seeds, we are the sons of God, we are the children of God, we are the seeds of God, right, from the resurrection. Look at Galatians 4 verse 5. Galatians chapter 4, verse 5 to 7. Galatians 4, verse 5 to 7. Galatians chapter 4, verse 5 to 7. Galatians chapter 4, verse 5 to 7. He says, to redeem them that were under the law. Right? Galatians 5, 4, verse 5 to 7. He says, that we might receive the adoption. So what is adoption? To place in a position of. Right, so we don't see adoptions from the view or from the lens of, you know, going to motherless baby home, you know, no. It is that actually in real sense, being placed in the stead or being placed in the position of. Are we together? So it means that in the real sense, we've been redeemed from the law, or it says to redeem them that were under the law, rather, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, that is those with an inheritance, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts. So, the Spirit of the Son sent into your heart is the new heart. So, what now happens? You now cry, Abba, Father. You are now able to say, Father, Father. He says, so, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, is it an if? It can be if. It has to be, since you are a son, then you are an heir of God through Christ. So, we have an inheritance through the work of Christ in the resurrection. Are we together? Are we together? So the new birth is to be born of God, to be born of the Spirit, to be born of God's water, to be sprinkled with God's water, that is to be made whole, to be made clean, that is to eat the good of land, that is to be God's new creation. All together. So what is the proof? Remember, John 7 tells you, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, but he spake ye of the Spirit, which shall be given, but he was not yet glorified at the time. So the glorification of Jesus will be found in the ascension of the Spirit into our hearts. All together. So the ascension of Jesus is the descent of the Spirit into our hearts. Did you get what I just said? I'll say that one more time. The ascent of Jesus, right? The ascension of Jesus is actually the descent of God into our hearts, into the hearts of man. I'll say one more time. Don't lose that. The ascension of Jesus is the descension of Jesus, of God, or God's Spirit into our hearts. So the promised Spirit is now what we have as our reality. All together. So Ezekiel, go back to Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel 36, Ezekiel 36, Ezekiel 36. Run with me quickly to Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. So he says what? He says, a new heart will I give you, that is a new spirit, right? So I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgment and do them. And ye shall do what? Verse 28, ye shall dwell in the land. Can we say the land is about Mount Zion? Can we say the land is about the city of the living God? Who do you find the city of the living God? People who are brethren. All together, people who are brethren. people who are brethren. So ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people. What does my people mean? My people will now be God's children. You can now see the conversion of I and the children, that is, I and the people which the Lord had given unto me, they are for signs and wonders. Yes? And I will be your God, and I will save you from your uncleanness. Are we together? So in the real sense, we are sons of God. That is, we have an inheritance through and by the resurrection. Are we together? So I'll put my spirit within you. Or you see David in Psalm 91. He says, and create in me a clean heart, O Lord. I renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit of me. That is not your song. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. I renew the right spirit. Ezekiel will tell you, God promised that I will put. Now remember, we saw that yesterday, that what God does, he does forever. Right? What God does, he does forever. What God does, he does forever. Now, we saw yesterday again, Ezekiel shows us that God does not delight or derive pleasure in the death of the wicked. What God does, he does forever. God is a faithful God. So in his faithfulness, if he says it, he will do it. So when you see, cast me not away. God cannot cast you away. Why? Because he has brought you into his land. So God can never cast the believer from Mount Zion, because Mount Zion is the city of the living God where God's children dwell. Hallelujah. So when he says, I will put my spirit within you. Are we together? I will put my spirit within you. Will now be the answer of renew in me the right spirit. Right? Take not your spirit. No. God says, I will put my spirit within you. So what you see as David's plea, or what you see as the psalmist's plea, is fulfilled today. It is received upon the resurrection. He says, a man cannot be born. So a man cannot enter the kingdom of God. So kingdom of God will speak of Mount Zion, the city of the living God. So how do you partake of Mount Zion? You partake of Mount Zion by what? Staying perpetually, or rather being willing and obedient and eating the good of the land. Are we together? So it means that there is such a thing called the new birth, called the new creation, right? That is forever and forever and ever and ever our reality as believers. Are we together? Look at John 14. John chapter 14, verse 16. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now, the word there, another, is the word allos. The word there, comforter, will speak about what you call parakletos, right? So, I will give you another comforter. That another, actually, the word allos, is not a word used to speak of another, but to speak of the same, right? So, it might seem like another, but it is the same. How do we know? Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now look at verse 17. Look at verse 16 again. It says, He shall give you another comforter. Look at verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So who is the real person that is coming? It is the Jesus Christ who talk about another comforter. So who is really coming? Jesus Christ is coming to us. So in the real sense, what you will see as the ascension of Jesus is really a descension of Jesus into the heart of a man that believes. Are we together? So I will not leave you comfortless. Is I will give you another comforter. I was together. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. 26 now says what? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost we see in our heart is the ascension of Jesus. That's a lot to unravel there. Anyways, look at chapter 16. 16 verse 12. It says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth. Now, the word there, truth, is the word aletheia, which is the word that is reality. So, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Not truth there will not be about how to drive car, how to cook indomie, how to cook pandedium, how to cook egusi. No. Spirit of God doesn't teach all those things. Let's leave all this grammar we say, right? This truth there is about the truth of the resurrection. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Are we together? And he will show you things to come. He now says in verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Hallelujah. So the reality of the new birth in us is seen by the indwelling of the Spirit in us. Altogether, I'll say that one more time. The reality of the new birth in us is seen by the indwelling of the Spirit in us. So when we come into the resurrection, we now have one. We are born into one body, one spirit. We have one Lord. That means we have an identity with our sanctifier, because the sanctifier and the sanctified, they can be called, or the sanctifier calls the sanctified brother, brethren. Why? Because we are from the same womb, by which the sanctifier is the first fruit, that is the firstborn. Are we together? So we are now identified in one body, one spirit. It means the Lord and the believer, we have the same spirit. Are we together? That's why you see Paul will now tell you, 1 Corinthians 3. Run there quickly. Let's close there for this evening. 1 Corinthians 3. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. He now says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Are we together? That the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Look at chapter 6. We'll pay attention to this in days to come. You know, the difference between chapter 3 and chapter 6. Look at chapter 6, verse 19. He says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price." See what he says. Therefore, you see, this will link to what we'll talk about on Sunday, the believer's conduct, or believer's lifestyle, the love work, and all of that. "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." All together. Glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's end in Ephesians 1. I said let's end in 1 Corinthians, right? Let's end in Ephesians 1. They will not properly end in Genesis. Look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 3. "I have heard many things to say. When the Spirit of truth shall come, he will lead us." Look at Ephesians 1, verse 3. It now says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings." Now, the spiritual blessings will be that which is found, or that which is of the Spirit that we've eaten as the good of the land in God's land. Are we together? Where is that? Is found spiritual blessing in heaven. Where is it? In Christ. So it means that these spiritual blessings spoken about are things that are limited to those that are in Christ. If it's something a man that is not in Christ or someone that is not in heaven can have, it means that it is not part of the things that are spiritual blessings in heaven in Christ. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that is from the beginning. So it means from the very beginning, you will see God's plan of the new creation. Altogether, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood. What is his blood? His spirit. What is that about? The forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he had abounded to us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he had proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. He now says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of an inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. He now says, wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in Lord Jesus Christ and love towards saints, I cease not to give thanks for you and making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, are we together? Father of glory, may give unto you, right, the spirit of wisdom, that is revelation in the knowledge of him, right? And the spirit, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. That is, what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. Who are the saints? Those the saints are the sons who have an inheritance. All together. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Right? Far above all principalities, powers, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. And he had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So from this we see that we receive redemption, that is forgiveness of sins, and we have the proof, we have the seal, the proof of ownership, the mark of permanence, that is the seal of the Holy Ghost in verse 13. Now look at chapter 4, verse 13. Look after the 4 verse 30. He now says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He didn't say when you grieve, you are no longer sealed. It means that the grieving he's talking about there will speak about a lifestyle or a conduct that needs to be put away. That's why the next verse now tells you, put bitterness away, put wrath away, put anger away, put clamor away, put evil speaking away. I would get that means have a solid conduct. That's why chapter 5 now tells you, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Are we together? So how do you follow God? You follow God by following the lifestyle of Jesus Christ as seen as a man on the earth. He now says, what do you do? Walk in the love. How did Galatians say it? He says, we live in the spirit. We ought to walk in the spirit. So what does it mean to walk in the spirit? To walk in love. That is love being the foundation of everything, every action we do. As Christ also had love. Remember, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. That is, thou shalt love your neighbor as Christ has loved you. And how did he love you? Giving himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. He now goes by this, but fornication, all uncleanness, let it not be once named amongst you as becometh saints. He goes on and on and on and on and on. So the new birth has been God's plan from time that will be fulfilled through the resurrection. So when you go back to Genesis chapter 1, I know I said we end there, a man of my word, I said final ending, Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the real sense, you will see scriptures as a pointer to the resurrection reality and to what is obtainable by the resurrection reality. So the new beginning, or the beginning Moses speaks about in Genesis 1, is the new beginning. We will continue there tomorrow. Until I come away again tomorrow, Jesus remains glorified. Cheers. I love you all.